Blog Talk Radio.
Well, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy and righteous name. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I welcome everyone to the line tonight. God bless you, and I will be your host tonight, Sybil Peoples, and the title of the show is I Please God, a statement made by Enoch. What a powerful statement. What a revelation. I have tonight with me Elder Peoples. Elder Peoples, would you like to say hello?
Would say praise the Lord to everyone in Radio Land. Thank God for health and strength, and thank him for his mercies, for his goodness and his grace, as the scriptures teach us. It is of the Lord's mercy that we have not been consumed, because his compassions fail not, and they are renewed each morning. And great is thy faithfulness. I praise him today for all of the many blessings and the benefits of his grace. I got good health by the grace of God today. I believe I've got a sound mind. Sometimes my wife would disagree. Praise the Lord, she's laughing right now as I say that, but any of us that are married, we understand that. So we're just grateful tonight to be able to have a wonderful opportunity to share in the word of the Lord. Thank God for the kingdom ministries, praise the Lord, and all of the great work that's being done across the land and even around the world. We thank God for having this source of medium in this day and time, because we're living in a world where people are perishing without a knowledge of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So we're very grateful tonight, Sister Sybil and myself, to have this wonderful opportunity to share in the word.
Bless the Lord, and thank you, Elder. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, let's see. We're going to talk a little bit about, we're going to pick up where we left off last week, and the subject and the topic was about Enoch and his revelation that he pleased God, and how we also can embrace Enoch's idea. Enoch was a powerful chosen man of God. He was mentioned a couple of times in the New Testament. He ended up in the Hall of Fame of Faith, and he was really remembered for his statement in Jude, where he mentions that the Lord will return with 10,000 of his saints. And for me, what I see with Enoch was Enoch had a soul winner's mindset. Enoch was about kingdom work. He was focused in on the purpose of being Christ-like, being the light in this very, very dark world. The fact that he mentioned that the Lord would return. Elder, did you have a comment?
Yes. When you talk about Enoch, and we elaborated quite a bit on last time regarding Enoch, I think that whenever you talk about the relationship of humanity with God, we must always talk about his purpose. Amen. What is his purpose? Praise the Lord. And I think that we, as believers in Christ Jesus, we must be empowered, and our vision and our purpose in life must be centered around what is the will of God concerning us. And as believers in a collective sense, if we want to find favor with God, if we want to be pleased with God, we want God to be pleased with us, we must continue his purpose. And of course, we know that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. The scripture says he was God manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. And so the passion that we must carry and the purpose that we must carry must be centered in the purpose of Christ. Amen. If Jesus died for it, we must be willing to live for it. Praise the Lord. You know, a lot of times as believers, we take on a martyr syndrome, but God wants us to live. And our passion must be the passion of God for the lost and dying of the world. Amen. Jesus so loved the world, praise the Lord, and gave his life, as the Father has stated, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Amen. That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus' purpose and primary mission was to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. And if we're going, as believers, if we're going to fulfill our purpose, we must have the same passion, praise the Lord, the passion for souls to be saved.
Amen, amen. So well put. I want to remind our listeners that this is Kingdom Builders Internet Radio, where we are blessed to be a blessing. I want to give our listeners, Elder, if you don't mind taking a pause on the subject matter, I want to remind our listeners that they have an opportunity to sow into Kingdom Builders. This is a blessed ministry. This is good ground. You can plant your seed, sow into Kingdom Builders International. All you need to do is call 312-574-0212, or you can go to the website, kingdombuilderplaza.com, or if you choose, you can email kingdombuildersinternational@gmail.com with a PayPal account. Jumping right back into the subject, yes, being about your Father's business, having a kingdom mindset on the or being focused with the agenda, I am a part of the kingdom, and my purpose is to build the Lord's kingdom. I want to address this revelation that I please God, this confidence that I can have because of what Christ did for me. I want to touch a little bit on the confidence, and what fuels that confidence is this grace.
Amen.
This grace, Elder.
Well, you know, grace is something that many writers and many scholars, many biblical experts have, we've all tried at some point in time to try to express the grace of God. But, you know, one of the writers of the scripture said, "Behold, what manner of love is this that the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God?" He had no words for it.
Amen.
He had to shake his head in amazement. the great depth of God's grace and God's love. And I think that as humans, we really don't have the ability outside of the revelation by the Holy Spirit to embrace the goodness and the grace of God as it is extended to the human family. It's a divine concept, praise the Lord, from a God who is perfectly holy, a God who uses love as one of his primary characteristics. For God so loved the world that he gave everything that was dear to him, everything that was passionate to him, everything that was most valuable to him, which was his only begotten son. And the only thing we had to do was believe, praise the Lord, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, praise the Lord. And so when you talk about the grace of God, many times as believers, it depends on what type of theological experience we are exposed to. There are many places in the body of Christ, and we all know this, where they are very, very rigid, and it's very, very legalistic, and brothers and sisters are judged based upon the do's and the don'ts of their lives, or they're judged upon a works of mentality, praise the Lord. And many times we are, in the body of Christ, in many places, deprived of the ability to appreciate the grace of God. God has to work hard in so many places to get through the religious dogma and the roadblocks to the purity of grace, praise the Lord. Because it's a wonderful thing to be able to have the free-flowing revelation of God concerning grace, to go to bed at night knowing that God loves you, and to wake up in the morning feeling that God loves you, and to walk through your day knowing that God loves you. But yet when you look in the mirror, you see imperfection.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. But yet you know that he loves you. Amen. There's no greater love than this that we have, that the Father would give a son that he loved dearly for humanity that hated him. Amen. And when I say hate, I'm not being a real, real harsh, but that's the language of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Abraham have I loved. Amen. And so, but the world has a love-hate complex with God. Amen. And I think that it's unfortunately the experience that many believers have in Christ is that we're okay when everything is going good, but then when something is out of order, we have a tendency not to be able to embrace the grace of God.
I definitely believe that we're at war.
Yes.
We're really at war. This grace or this love that God has bestowed upon his creation, the war is to receive it.
Amen.
The fight is to receive it. The enemy of our soul, the enemy of life itself, would like to rob us of this free gift, rob us of what God gave so much to give us. It is his desire that we receive the grace that he has given us. It is the Lord's desire that we know him and see him and embrace him and worship him after knowing him.
Yes.
The enemy, which we don't give him too much credit, but the enemy, his assignment is to cause us to self-assess or self-reflect or whisper in our ears and remind us everything that he thinks or he can conjure up, painting pictures that no, this love did not cover this area, or this love does not extend this far. This love has some fault to it, or it is not perfect. This war that we fight as believers to receive, to embrace the love of God, resisting the enemy and his lies and his smoke screens that he put up to try to convince us of anything different than that.
And you talk about the enemy is a thief, praise the Lord. A thief comes to take something that's valuable,
yeah.
Praise the Lord. Jesus taught that the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He said, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And that word abundantly comes from a Greek word, a perissos, which means a superabundance, praise the Lord, in quality. Amen. And so the thing that is really so foundational to our intimacy with God is that grace foundation.
Yeah.
Because what will happen is, with the foundation of grace, we know that God is always approachable.
Yeah.
Amen. We learned as very small children that when we did something wrong, we tried to avoid our parents. That was innate. Adam put that in us.
Yeah.
Amen. To hide.
Like Adam.
Amen. The Lord came looking for Adam after the fall. Mm-hmm. Adam, where are you?
Yeah.
He said, well, I knew I was naked, so I hid myself. Adam, who told you? You were naked. His own conscience told him he was naked. Mm-hmm. And so the power of grace has the ability to soothe the alienated consciousness that we have received because of the Adamic failure.
Like the middle wall of partition that was rent or torn when Jesus went to the cross.
Amen. So that's a beautiful example. That middle wall of partition stood between the average Jew, amen, and his relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
That the veil of that temple was rent from top to bottom. And that what that meant was, once that veil was rent, the average person defeated to the holiest of holies. No longer did they need the high priest, amen, who had to offer up the sacrifices. No longer did they need the Levites, amen. So Jesus gave us, as the scripture said, a new and a living way.
Yes.
Hallelujah. No longer works, amen.
Yes.
Works is not the thing that's going to please God, but we have good works because we have received the grace of God, and we are free to be what God would have us to be.
Well, I'm going to go into some uncharted territory now. Because when the scripture talks about what you just mentioned, a lot of times, and tell me if I'm wrong, there's a scripture that says, who has bewitched you?
Amen.
That you've begun things in the spirit, but you got to perfect it in the flesh.
Amen.
So receiving the grace, being able to have confidence, being able to be successful in kingdom work, you really have to understand it is so essential that saints would know that that work was a completed work. It was a finished work.
Amen.
It was a once and for all that we did not need a priest to go, as you mentioned.
Amen.
We did not need to sacrifice animals. We did not need the work to be repeated.
Amen.
It was a once and for all sacrifice, a sacrifice for sins that we've done, sins that we're doing, and sins that we're going to do in the future, that Christ paid a price, that we would no longer be held back by our conscience.
Amen.
And the scriptures reflect that if our
conscience condemns you, God is greater.
Yes.
But the condemnation, praise the Lord, comes from, many times it comes from spiritual ignorance.
Yes.
And when I say ignorance, brothers and sisters, I'm not being harsh. I'm not throwing out a harsh terminology of ignorance. Ignorance just simply means without knowledge. Praise the Lord. And many times, because we don't know, you see, the enemy attempts to capitalize on our lack of knowledge. Praise the Lord. And all of us have been victimized at some time or another because we've all been babes in Christ, you see. And so the ignorance or the spiritual lack of knowledge has a tendency in regard to us and the ability to receive the grace of God becomes a divine impediment. Amen. It becomes something that is in place, not that God put it there, but it is in our hearts. It's like a scale, amen, or blinders over our eyes that we cannot receive and accept. And so many brothers and sisters in Christ are so beat down religiously and theologically, amen, that they don't feel confidence in the presence of God.
Right.
You see, Jesus gave us the confidence, amen. We can come boldly, the scriptures teach,
yes,
before the throne of grace that we might have help in the times of our need or the times of our trouble.
Well, let me throw this disclaimer in, just to clear up if there are some people who are resisting with this point of view. We always reverence.
Amen.
We always, it is just almost, not just, it is impossible to be in the presence of God and in this human flesh, not be in awe
Amen.
At his glory,
yes,
at his allness, if I could create that word. So the reverence is always there. When we, and that's the thing I wanted to mention when you talk about spiritual ignorance. The lack of knowledge concerning the fact that the power of God is powerful enough that you won't stand in arrogance and pride in the presence of God.
Amen.
As the story says, there are so many scenarios in the Bible where Paul was on the road to Damascus and he fell on his face.
Amen.
When Daniel was on the beach and the angel visited him over and over again, when mankind is visited by Almighty God, you can't stand there with your chest stuck out.
Amen.
The two don't mix.
Amen.
So we always have reverence, and we know that the power of God is powerful enough that we can have confidence in the power of God and be in God's will, and not the idea that we're going to be so full of pride concerning what we've accomplished or arrogant in what I did and what I can do.
Yeah.
But in it exactly, it is the power and the grace of God that will draw us into a godly confidence.
Amen. You know, the scriptures teach us, when it says, let us come boldly before the throne of grace, that's not with a spirit of arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And fear is healthy. There's two types of fear. There's a godly or reverential type fear that we should always have. But it's not a trembling type of fear. In Greek, the trembling type of fear is delos. It's a big word, delos. And it means a fearfulness or a cowardliness. And we don't have to have that type of approach to God. That's why he tells us, when the scriptures teach us, let us come boldly before the throne of God, that's with God having a full knowledge and understanding that when we come, we're not perfect.
Yeah.
When we come, we have issues. When we come, we have problems. When we come, we sometimes have all. The whole idea is to be that mediator, amen, in our lives. As a mediator, there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus stands in a mediatorial position as our great high priest to appeal our case before the Father. And guess what? You think Johnny Cochran was tough? He never loses a case. And he has assured us that when we come and we get the help that we need, we can leave strong. But the enemy has made us to believe that we cannot approach God as covenant children, as blood-washed, born-again believers. And I've seen this with my own eyes. Blood-washed, born-again believers filled with the Holy Ghost, and in many cases for many years, afraid to approach the throne of God. If you can't approach the throne of God, there's no place for us. And that's exactly what the enemy wants. He wants us to avoid it because he knows every time we go into his presence, we come out healed. We come out restored. We come out renewed. We come out with new vision, with new revelation, with new determination.
Yeah.
Praise God.
And it is just the way you described it. We definitely have access to God because of Christ.
Yes.
And unfortunately, the enemy and his deception have caused churches and believers to believe that their sins have separated them from God.
Yes.
And if that is true, then we are relying on our ability and not the finished work at the cross. I find it very interesting. I want to take the conversation in a different direction. The thing that was on my heart was being a warrior, having a warrior mindset, a warrior position when it comes to being a witness.
Amen.
I believe that being a witness, you take on a warrior mindset because it is as if you're at war.
Amen.
Christ said, if everyone in the world speak well of you, and I'm ad-libbing, so you may have to correct me. If everyone in the world speak well of you, get worried. Be worried, rather. So having a warrior mindset, having a position where I am the light of the world, and the world is not happy about that. when I've had experiences where you enter into certain areas where the demonic activity is so strong, and you can run into great opposition without any kind of reasoning. It's almost as if they didn't like you because you were breathing. It's almost as if they didn't like you because you were male or female, short or tall, wide or skinny. It is as if the forces of darkness just launched an attack on you. And having that warrior mindset, knowing me being the witness, my purpose as a believer, the thing that is pleasing God is the fact that I am Christ to a dying world and that I have to have on my armor. I have to stand square-footed. I have to have the mindset that they're not going to throw me a party.
You know, the Bible teaches that the righteous are as bold as a lion, Proverbs 28:1.
Yes.
It didn't say the righteous were as timid as a field mouse. It says the righteous are as bold as a lion. Now, that's personality aside. Many times we, as believers, we are intimidated because of our natural personality.
Yes.
But we have the spiritual personality of Christ. There are times when you have to shock the world and shock yourself as well. You've got to say some things and do some things that are very, very radical. Praise the Lord, because as a witness, amen, for Christ, there's going to be a time and seasons where we have to come with the sword. Amen. And we have to know that we have to come with the sword, and the people that experience the sword are going to be amazed because in some places they may say, I didn't know you had it in you. Praise the Lord. Because that's who we are.
Yes.
Amen. Because our primary purpose is to save souls.
Yes.
If we're going to be what Christ wants us to be in the world, we're going to have his vision. Praise the Lord. We're going to have his purpose.
Yes.
And he came to seek and to save that which is lost. What does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? What can a man give exchange for? So the church's primary mission is to seek and save souls. And sometimes it's a very, very radical position to be in.
Yeah.
Very uncomfortable. You have the family reunion and everybody's having a good time. And all of a sudden Jesus creeps into the conversation.
And that's a very good point. I wanted to tell a story years and years ago. I was so fired up about being a witness. I wanted to tell everybody that I had any kind of contact with about Christ. And I had taken my boys to a barber shop in Roseland, and I was convinced that I had read my word, I had studied, and I was well prepared because I was reading and studying. And I ran into one of the barbers, and we got into a conversation, and I just knew this man did not know God. That man put me to shame. He knew many more scriptures, had a great understanding of the word, and told me that he had been in his church in church all his life, but he decided he was going to be a backslider, and he was through. He was finished, and I was so intimidated. I left that barbershop feeling like, oh, my, this thing ain't what it's cracked up to be. I am not going to put myself in that position again. But, whoa, have I learned a lot since that experience. Now I understand so clearly that the power of the gospel, the power of salvation, let me re-quote that, the power of salvation is in the gospel.
Amen.
And that revelation that I do not have to have a doctorate in theology,
amen,
to be used by God.
Yes.
I do not have to be intimidated by anyone, no matter what their stature is. No matter if I'm talking with the president or what life accomplishments that person has obtained, I am Holy Ghost filled. And I like a phrase that they use so very often, if the Lord bring you to it, he going to bring you to it. I could use that as a foundation of soul winning. If he send you to a situation, circumstances, or you find yourself sharing Christ or sharing your testimony with someone, heaven knows the confidence that it is the power of the Holy Ghost that will do the work.
Amen.
The position of the warrior You do not have to back down. You do not have to feel unprepared. You do not have to feel like they got more going on than you.
Amen.
Because if God sends you to it, he'll send you through it, and his will be accomplished. He chose you.
Amen.
And his will be accomplished through you in that situation.
And the apostle said, for I am not ashamed.
Yes.
Of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is.
It is.
You say, it is.
It is, not us.
It is the power.
Yes.
Of God unto salvation.
Yes.
To the Jew first and also to the Greek.
Yes.
Amen. And so that's the thing you have to keep in mind. You know, a lot of times, brothers and sisters in Christ, young brothers and sisters in Christ, they feel like they're inadequate witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we talked about that before. They feel like they're inadequate witnesses. But what we fail to understand is that in many places in the scriptures, they were not quoting scriptures when they were witnessed. Praise the Lord. They're scriptures to us because we read the story.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But someone once said, come meet a man who told me about everything in my life.
Yeah.
He was talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. It was the personal experience. It was the experience of meeting this mighty man. Amen. During his incarnation in the flesh, someone who was special, someone who they could see the power of God and they could feel the power of God and they could hear in his voice. They saw it in his countenance. Amen. His love was immeasurable. The experience of meeting Jesus gives us the power to be a witness. You may not be able to quote from Genesis to Revelation. That's not the issue. The issue is, you go with the power that God gives you, which is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will give us the words to speak when we are willing to be witnesses. When we're willing to open our mouths, he will speak to us.
That's powerful, very, very powerful, because we understand that the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit,
amen,
it empowers us to carry out this mission.
Amen.
I think it was Bill Hayman wrote a book. I forgot the name of the book. But Bill Hayman wrote a book, and it touched on that expressly, how through witnessing, the Holy Spirit can empower us to prophesy, or it can empower us to give a word of knowledge, to be, the Holy Spirit even gives us the giftings of help ministry.
Yes.
You actually can help someone and minister to them by helping them. It can be words or deeds. And that's the most important factor of it, that it is the Holy Spirit doing,
yes,
the work.
Amen.
And it is up to us to be Holy Spirit led.
Yes.
That we would be the perfect piece in a puzzle.
Amen.
One water it, one plant, one water it, but God give the increase. You mentioned about being among family.
Yes.
And people who know you and remember when, and
yes,
and know you when you had a diaper on. At times, some of those individuals are the hardest people.
Yes.
The people who knew you back before you called on God, when you cussed and hollered and did everything that came to your mind without a second thought.
Yes.
Those individuals, family and friends, you have long-term relationships. It sometimes it's hard to have confidence that we are a witness to them.
Amen.
And having a warrior mindset that even when they tell you to go somewhere and shut up and sit down, because I remember when, we remain, as believers, we are commissioned to remain in confidence that it was the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That they were offended by.
Amen. And you know, many times when we think we're not effective, we are being effective.
Yeah, that's
great. Because our responsibility many times is to just plant a seed.
Yeah.
Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God caused the increase.
Yeah.
You don't know where a brother or sister is, a potential brother or sister in Christ is on the spectrum, amen, of being a convert.
Yeah.
We don't know. Someone else may have been ahead of you, and they may have heard it before.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. And many times we're concerned about how we are going to be received. Amen. But if we're going to be faithful witnesses, and the Bible says a true witness delivers souls in Proverbs 14:25. A true witness delivers
He wasn't hearing it. But God loved him so much, he said, I think I'm going to have to knock this one down. Mm-hmm. He caught him on Damascus Road and knocked him down. And notice what the apostle says in the encounter. He says, who are you, Lord? He says, I'm Jesus, whom you persecuted. Oh, that's a powerful intervention. Mm-hmm. God went after this man. As hard as he was sincere. And that's why we have to be compassionate upon the sinner. Amen. Understanding that they are spiritually ignorant, mm-hmm. and we have to be willing to bear their ignorance. We can't allow their negative response to turn us off and cause us to say, oh, well, he's going to be lost. Amen. Because that's, we are soldiers. You started off this lesson talking about the warrior mentality. The soldier, the warrior keeps coming.
Yeah.
We are warriors in the world. We have to continue to press. We got to continue to go after these people. We have to continue to give them a word. We have to continue to love them. We have to continue to seek them out. Amen. And let them know that the Spirit of God is upon me, and he's anointed me to preach this word to you.
Yes.
And his desire is that you might have life, and that more abundantly.
Oh, you touched on something there, that being a warrior, and you mentioned it earlier, the heart of God.
Yes.
It was Jesus' mission to seek and save that which was lost.
Yes.
And we want to be Christ-like. We have to take on that call,
yes.
to be Christ-like, to seek and save that which was lost,
yes.
at the expense sometimes of our,
Amen.
At the expense of sometimes our reputation,
yes.
and many, many other aspects of our life, even at the expense of prosperity.
Yes.
Because a modern-day message is that if you are prosperous, you represent God in a great way. And I beg to differ. I say if you are anointed,
yes.
you represent God in a mighty way.
Yes.
To be able, I heard one very interesting story of a drug cartel, a drug lord, and he testified about this one man. This one man who drove the raggediest car, and he was living so large, the drug cartel, that he had this long road to get to his house, and you had to go through security and gates. And this man would come with smoke coming out the back of his car. But this man who drove the raggedy car never took a dime from the rich man, never tried to take advantage of his wealth and power. And when the bottom fell out of his world, this man with the raggedy car stood firm. The drug cartel ended up being investigated by the FBI, and I don't remember his name, so I don't get in trouble. But he got investigated, and he was up to go to jail. And it wasn't going to be good because there's some situations where people waiting on you to go to jail so they can do you harm in jail. And the man with the ragged car stood by him, went to court with him, and that man got saved. And he talks about the great transition, the transformation in his life from being in such an evil world,
yes.
coming in and having his heart broken with receiving the love of God. We cannot, as the Bible talks about in the Old Testament, when they put the God next to the Ark of the Covenant,
yes.
God was that. The Dagon God, and every time it fell over,
yes.
every time we want to take money or prosperity and put it next to the God of the heaven and earth, the God of our salvation, prosperity falls over. And we have to be so very mindful
yes.
that we don't visualize prosperity or currency or money or anything that represents wealth is more powerful than the power of God. Because if we're not very careful, we'll start measuring them up.
Yes.
I like different ministries, and I love the work they're doing. But it grieves me to my very soul when I hear it takes money to win the lost. The world was won with the apostles. The Bible is the most printed book on the whole planet. Christianity is a powerful, widespread organization or organism and it's been done by the word of mouth. To believe that we need money for TV time, or we need money for fancy buildings, or we need money, it diminishes that power of the Holy Ghost that can prick and change lives and change people and set them on fire to witness. How dare we?
Amen. You know, the apostles on one occasion talked about, said, we are hungry, we are naked, even to this very hour.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Now, yes, God is able to give us prosperity, but that ain't what God is all about.
Right.
You see, favor, praise the Lord, is a thing of God. You may never have access to great wealth in your life, but if you have God's favor, you have everything. Praise the Lord. And God is able to give us favor, praise the Lord, under any circumstance that we have. And unfortunately, there are many brothers and sisters in Christ who have, even to the point of feeling as though they did not have a solid relationship with God because they did not have the appearance of wealth or the appearance of what we esteem to be prosperity. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ is our prosperity. Jesus Christ, having the Holy Ghost, is eternal life. Amen. It means absolutely nothing, amen, if you have $1 billion. And you can't get healed.
Right.
Praise the Lord. It means nothing if you have the wealth and the riches of the world, but you don't have eternal life. The rich man died, and he lifted up his eyes in hell. Abraham died, and he was caught up in the rich man died, and he was caught up. He was in hell.
And then the poor man.
The poor man, yeah. He was in Abraham's bosom.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. So what does it tell us about God? God is not a respectable person. Praise the Lord. And unfortunately, that wealth and prosperity message is somewhat confined to the developed countries. When you go into places of Africa and other parts of the world, they are some of the finest Christians in the world in underdeveloped places. And they're living from hand to mouth.
Well, one thing for sure, we cannot measure our place in God,
yes,
by wealth or advancement in this world, because this world has its limitations.
Yes.
The message of Christ, when God said, when the scripture says, "For God so loved the world, He gave."
Yes.
To have the nature of God is to be a giver.
Yes.
It is Christ-like to be a giver.
Yes.
And it is the will of God to provide our needs.
Amen.
It is the will of God that we be in health. It said, help me here. It says that your soul prosper.
Say, the apostles said, "I will that you prosper, be in health, even if our soul prospers."
Thank you. Thank you for helping me with that. So prosperity is not a bad thing. It is not an evil thing. It only becomes problematic when you start to diminish the power of God in comparison with money.
Yes.
Money can be deceptive. Money can be, as the scriptures say, the love of it is, yes, the root to all evil.
Amen.
So then we have to have a sober mindset, a sober,
yes,
perspective when it comes to money and prosperity, because God, the possessor of heaven and earth, is all powerful.
Amen.
And then we have to war and fight against any thought or idea that would try to say anything different, cause us to see it in a different way. I want to, as we even talk about money and talk about God being a giver, I want to again let my listeners know that they can sow into Kingdom Builders International. I'm going to give you that phone number again as we're about to close, 312-574-0212, or the website kingdombuildersplaza.com, or email kingdombuildersinternational@gmail.com with the PayPal account. I want to thank our listeners. If you have any comments, any questions, if you would like to hear a different matter or topic, please feel free to email civilpeoples@yahoo.com or melvinp
Disciples at yahoo.com. My name spelled S-I-P-Y-L, and the last name P-E-E-P-L-E-S, and Melvin Peoples, same last name, at yahoo.com. This ministry is Mending God's People, a ministry set and purposed by God to touch those that have had misfortunes and hurts and abuses within the church. There is a group of people who refuse to step back in the doors of churches, refusing to again embrace fellowshipping with saints. I want to send a message for you to know that God has a healing for you, because we are the body of Christ and we do a great work as we join in unity collectively. So as I say goodnight, and Elder, a couple of words before I close completely.
Well, I just want to thank and praise God once again for the opportunity to go over the airwaves. And as the apostle prayed, I pray that you prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prospers.
Amen. God bless you. See you next week. Thank you. Love you. Be blessed.
Thank you. you say, God is leaning in my direction. Some prophesy, I said he's leaning. In whose direction?
In my direction.
Come on, you ain't no me to say it. You got to say it, say it.
He's leaning
in my direction.
In my direction.
Cause this is my seed for grace, for favor. This is my seed. Come on, y'all. You raise your hand and say, I've got a seed in the ground. Come on, open your mouth and say, I've got a seed in the ground. And I don't care what your circumstance says, it's already getting better.
And I can walk. I got the tongue, y'all, and I thank God for the many blessings he's given me. When I look back over my life and I see where he brought me from, I can truly say that I've been blessed. Let me tell you, woke up this morning, got out of my bed. I looked around, here's what I said. Thank you, Lord, for the blood you shed. You put a roof up over my head. Thank you, Lord, for another day. All these blessings you sent my way. You see, I could have been dead in some lonesome grave, but you told, oh, death, you told it to get back and behave.
The righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. I can count on God, he won't let me down. He always do just what he said. Pain and suffering, he brought me through. Arms wide open, he always welcomed you. I've been blessed in so many ways. I just want to lift my hand. God, all the praise. Ooh, another blessing. Ooh, another blessing. Ooh, another blessing. Ooh, another blessing.
I got my legs and I can walk.
Another,
I got my tongue, y'all. And I can talk, even the air that I receive. I got my lungs, and I can breathe.
When I look around, I can see all the blessings he's given to me. Bless my family, and they're doing fine.
Yeah. a hand of witness tonight. Can I ask y'all one question? The question is simply this: what did he see?
He saw the best.
I can't get no help up in here, because there are some folk in here that people have wrote you off. Said you would never amount to anything. Said that you would never end up being anywhere. But Myron, tell him one more time, what did he see?
He saw the best.
When mama said you would never be nothing. When aunties and uncles said that you'll never amount to anything. When daddy didn't come home anymore. He didn't look at you and say that you weren't going to make it. God looked at you and what did he see? What did he see?
He saw the best. The best.
What did he see?
The best.
I said, what did he see?
The best.
I said, what did he see?
The best.
give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can.
Come on, let him know.
I give myself away. Give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
What would happen if a generation embraced it? Come on, tell them.
Here I am. Here I am.
here.